What's going down? Happy Wednesday. George, what's up, man? I see you riding the bike over there.
8 a.m. Sydney time, so it's a warm down for the session.
Oh, nice, brother. Thanks for
How are
being here.
you?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. I'm
Good to hear.
actually sitting here hanging with Gav. He's off from work.
Big man, hey.
Yes, boys. Good to see you all.
Oh, look at you. Dale's ripping on his bike as well. Love it, man. Love you guys being active. Seth, thanks for being here. I see some guys. Brian, Dan, what's going on, guys? See everybody. Des, always good to see you on here, man. Welcome, welcome. So I do my best to make these calls as valuable, actionable as possible. In saying that, I want to always open up the floor. We keep the calls relatively small, right? Like they're not massive people, not massive number of people on these calls. So you have the opportunity to bring any questions, comments, concerns you have to this call. I'm here to make your life easier, make your life better. I always say, like, all the challenges you guys are experiencing, I've experienced them, bar none. Right, all the big challenges, all of the wins, all of the obstacles, I've been through it either with myself personally or with some of my clients. So never feel like you're alone. Always feel like you can throw it out. If you're worried about asking the question, throw it as a private DM in the chat and I'll pull it up and ask it. I won't call you out unless you want me to. So gents, so in staying with the objective of making calls valuable, I'm going to give you guys first some valuable insights on how you can make the most of your time, how you can make the most of your training. We've also got a special guest we're going to welcome into our group in just a minute. So Gavin and I right now are traveling the world teaching effective transformation strategies, people, how to get people really muscular, really lean, and ultimately looking, feeling, performing at their best. That's really what we do. And there's not a person that I've met yet who can't do it. And the only limiting factor you have is your belief as to whether or not it's going to happen. And so the guys who succeed, in my experience, are the ones who do one of two things. You either objectively follow the process and you just, like, buy in. You're like, hey, I'm just going to do exactly what coach says and follow through. Or you learn to manage your subjective variables. And what those subjective variables are is my emotions, right? Minute to minute, day to day, my emotions change. My emotions are influenced by my surroundings. They're influenced by my sleep. They're influenced by my stress. They're influenced by my relationships. They're influenced by my finances. And so, what we're looking for day to day is a strategy to navigate through our emotions, right? So, your emotions influence your actions, and your actions obviously influence your outcomes. And all of us are in this moment experiencing some level of emotion. Emotions are influenced by, or internally are influenced by hormones. They're influenced by light. They're influenced by the amount of sleep we've had. So many things below the level of conscious processing, right? We don't even know these things are happening, but we're influenced by our emotions always. And so, first, the step that I encourage you guys all to take on is, how do I become aware of what's driving my behaviors? And so many people, I open the floor to you guys in a moment, but so many people are unaware of what's driving their behaviors, right? We have these habitual behaviors, right? So these things that are operating below the level of our conscious awareness that are driving our day-to-day behaviors that are ultimately driving our outcomes. And then we live in this loop. So many people year to year don't change, right? We maybe make a little progress and then we regress. We make a little progress, then we regress. Because we're living in these unconscious patterns, these unconscious loops that we can't break, until we start to become aware of them, it's very hard to break. And so awareness can be brought on by a number of things, any number of things, right? So my encouragement to you guys is you create a practice around awareness. So becoming more present in your body. So many of us live lives of trying to mute the sensations, emotions, and feelings in our body. We don't want that. Even though sometimes anxiety, panic, and fear are strong, learning to be comfortable in those is important. Very, very important, especially as a man. If we mute our emotions, ironically, many people, men specifically, think men are not supposed to be in touch with their emotions, but I encourage you to think the exact opposite. A strong man is in touch with all of his emotions. He just doesn't let it influence his behaviors, right? So the way I believe emotions should guide us, emotions guide our long-term objectives, meaning I feel very powerful and passionate, but going in this long-term objective, in this long-term direction, it doesn't influence our day-to-day decisions or minute-to-minute outcomes or minute-to-minute decisions. It shouldn't, in my opinion. But so many of us live this life of being influenced by our emotions in the moment. And some people are like, "Oh, your emotions are important." I'm like, damn right, your emotions are important. But I don't want my emotions, like how I feel right now, my energy, my stress, my fear, shouldn't influence my minute-to-minute decisions. And so my process personally for this is I create an awareness every single morning on my default state. Like, how do I feel when I wake up? And curating that state. Can I feel more calm? Can I feel more focused? Can I feel more energized? And I create that state every morning. And that I call that my state of success. I've defined it for myself. It's highly energized, highly calm and focused, and ultimately someone who has an abundance of energy and focus to show up for the day. Right. And so I can curate that. I can create that for myself. So when I get into situations throughout the day that are moving me away from that, I bring myself back to that default. As an example, if something causes anger, if something causes frustration, because I created that anchor state in the morning, the state of, focus, of energy, of calm, I can get back there. Right. Just like the feeling of the pump you get in your chest. Once you get it, you feel it. Same too with this calm, anchored emotional state that I create in the morning. So no matter what's going on in my life, you are always the lighthouse in the storm, so to speak. So yeah, I just want you guys to think about that. If you're not spending at least 3 to 5 minutes, not a lot, every morning, you don't even have to get out of bed, right? You don't even have to get out of bed. Keep your eyes closed and sit in bed and say, or lay in bed and one, take inventory of the state of your body and mind. Two, curate the state of your body and mind, right? So inventory is like, what am I feeling right now? Am I feeling anxious? Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling mad? Am I feeling energized? Am I feeling tired? All those are on the table. Just observe and then make a decision and learn how to adjust your physiological state and your psychological state. Physiology is the state of my body. The psychology is the state of my mind. Well, how do I influence my physiology? Right? I can influence my physiology through my breathing. I can influence my physiology through my thoughts. I can influence my physiology through my muscular system and make myself really relaxed. Or I can influence my, and I can influence my mind through anchoring certain thoughts. My suggestion for thoughts in the morning is gratitude. Start your day with gratitude. If you guys did this every day for a month, your life would change. And here's exactly what I do every morning out loud, most of the time, not all the time. It's, I'm so grateful for my son. I'm so grateful for my daughter. I'm so grateful for my family. And I'm going through like that for 3 minutes. I'm feeling the gratitude. And so I get up with this feeling of gratitude, abundance, and unconditional love that takes me into a world and ultimately has created a completely new reality for me, right? So if you would have asked me what my life was like in 2007, when this journey kind of all started for me, I'm not even the same human. Not even the same human. It's not, I mean, it's a long time, but not the same human. I'm going to pause right there, kind of surface level, touching on a few things. Does anyone have any questions or comments that have come up for you guys in the first 5 minutes of today's call?
Hi Ben. I've got a question regarding meditation and awareness. Do you use meditation as part of your practice for awareness? or do you consistently do meditation like every single day? And does the minutes on meditation matter for your daily practice, or do you kind of tend to keep it in shorter spells whenever you feel you need it? Or do you do like a, because like when I'm like during my experience of meditation, like if I've done it longer than like 45 minutes, I can get to a state of just like total tranquility. Whereas like 10 to 15 minutes, it's not rushed as such, but it feels like you struggle to get in that state, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So for me, man, if I'm being honest, it's seasons of life. So there's been seasons of really deep meditation, and I think it's creating a shift not only in your thoughts, but also in your body. And those seasons for me are not always the possibility. I can't always do it, right? But what you'll know as a meditator, once you've glimpsed and experienced what is possible in meditation, it's much easier to get back there. So in this current season of my life, getting up in the morning usually looks like I'm doing 7 to 10 minutes, and then I'm on with my training. I'm on with my day. But it's consistent in that amount. But there's been seasons of my life where I would do 60-minute meditations consistently. Actually, there's seasons of my life where I do that twice a day, morning and night. And I just allow myself to go with the flow of the season sometimes. You have an anchor, it's a pillar, you're always going to do it, but it's not always reasonable for me, because of the season of life that I'm in right now, to say, hey, yeah, I need to do this, right? So I'm building a number of businesses. I've got an enormous number of things on my plate. So I've prioritized my training, I've prioritized my cardio, I've prioritized my nutrition, and I've intentionally lowered the prioritization of my meditation. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, pleasure, brother. Anyone else have any questions? Okay. In saying all of that, I've invited a very good friend of mine to join us today. And I've known him for 8 years, I think, 7 or 8 years. And he's one of us, and he's one of us. He's a very high achieving man, very deep thinker. He's an incredible performance coach, works with guys, just like you and me, to help us overcome our challenges, to help us overcome our unconscious programming, and not dissimilar to what we're all doing, is on this journey to self-mastery, and has a unique perspective on helping us navigate through challenges. So I'd like to welcome my great friend Grant to join and just wrap through some useful action items for you guys, some applicable things that we can work through. Ultimately, how these things are implicated in not only our health, but ultimately our success, right? So I think all of us are on some mission, whether you've identified it or not. I hope you have. If you haven't, well, we can work through it together. All of us are on some mission, that ultimately to be the best version of ourselves, to change the world, to do something great. And sometimes we run into challenges, and it's always ourself. I hope you guys all know this too, right? It's never something outside of you that's a block. If you're running into an obstacle or a challenge, it's always you. It's always your self-conscious, your, excuse me, your subconscious programming, your belief systems. So, Mr. G, welcome to the house, man.
What's up, brother? Thank you so much for having me on. What's up, guys? Very nice to be here. It's such a privilege.
Dude, that background looks all pretty. What you got going on there? Is that a special fancy lighting? What's going on?
That's just some good lighting, man. I nerd out pretty hard on my setups.
Good for you, man. That looks awesome. You got me beat on this one. Where are you? Where in the world? Are you in Ohio?
Currently up in Northern Ohio, where I grew up. So moved back here about a year ago, and really, like right now in this point in my life, I'm revamping a lot of things. Had a lot of shifts in my life over the last 6 to 8 months, and I mean, what better place to have home base than literally the house I grew up in? So it's
For
a
you, man.
rare privilege that I feel like I'm in.
Yeah. So Grant and I met seven, I think it was 7 or 8 years ago through a gentleman named Steve Weatherford. Grant was working with Steve. Steve was a If you got anyone from New York, you would know Steve Weatherford as the kicker for the Giants when they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, so Steve is a mutual acquaintance of both Grant and I. And Grant has taken on, in the last just couple of years, taken on this journey of coaching men. And the reason I wanted to bring Grant on, Grant has been, you meet people and you sit with them and you chat for hours, and the insights that they bring are just remarkable. You're like, man, this guy's got some super deep thoughts, super deep insights. So I thought I'd come on and have Grant kind of wrap for you guys for a few minutes. As much time as you want, Grant. Like, you guys can tell them kind of how you work with people and what the things you do, some of the things you do that ultimately help unlock new levels of success.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Thank you so much. I feel like the easiest way to even like start that whole thing would be literally like how I met Ben. Like you said, I was working with was a very good friend of mine. And through a lot of continuous ongoing verbalization from him, was this vibe that I was on the same par as him, like treated me the exact same way. But when push came to shove, it was always him to the forefront, which gave me this vibe in me of I'm Scottie Pippen, not Michael Jordan. And if I think if we're all being honest, we all want to be like the Michael Jordan in our lives. Like we want to be the star. And a lot of times, and I feel like with men, especially in the way the landscape is, it's like it's uncomfortable to be a man in some regard now, because when so many of us don't know what that means, because everybody's got different metrics of what seems acceptable with that, right? So all I knew was to be myself. So I kind of kept my mouth shut, but it kept opening up these beautiful doors, even though some of the vibes I was getting wasn't the best. Like Ben said, I'm so fortunate, you know, I got to cross paths with Ben. So the day I met Ben, I'm doing, I think we're all doing like bicep curls, right? And here's Mr. Pakulski in his own gym using like a 20-pound dumbbell doing a curl on the verge of what looked like tears. And here's my ignorant ass over here with a 50-pound dumbbell just like throwing this around. And I like look at him and I'm like, what? Like, what's happening? What's going on? And he just kind of like looked at me and smiled. He's like, I'm so glad you asked. And it was cool because at that moment, I also realized he didn't want to just go around pushing his beliefs on other people. And in that moment, he said something so profound to me that unlocked so many. I mean, he was saying it around fitness, but it unlocked all of these doors and gave me so many formulations for the coaching that I was already doing around an entire lifestyle. And it was, we spend our entire life training like an athlete. So we know that to do a squat, we need to sit down to 90 degrees and just stand up to lock out, but we don't know how we're doing it. And we become attached to the external all the while forgoing the internal. And in that one moment, I was like, what just happened? Like it blew my mind, because all of a sudden it collapsed time. Have you ever gotten one of those formulations where somebody says something and it clicks and it makes all these dominoes fall into place? Maybe that you've been experiencing throughout your entire life. That was that moment for me. It made everything click. I'd been so focused on the external in so many facets of my life that I had forgone the internal culture that I was trying to create within the entire thing. And when you build on the outside, you crumble on the inside if you don't have a base. So I took that and I started immediately applying that philosophy to everything across the board. And I think the coolest thing to realize about that is you probably have so many amazing ideas, concepts, and philosophical strategies within yourself right now. And it's like, you just don't know why you do the things that you do. Like you do good things, you do good by people, you behave in a certain way that's conducive, but maybe you don't have the formulation for it yet. And that was one of the things that gave a lot of formulation to a lot of aspects of my life. And I don't even know if I've ever told him that. So thank you very much, because it really is when you start focusing on the internal and you focus on the internal process and you let the external achievements become a byproduct of those, you surpass everything you ever wanted. You grow things that you never knew. You build businesses that go way beyond your wildest dreams. You have a physique better than what you imagined in your head. And it's because we have this subconscious belief system about what we're allowed to achieve in life. And that's what I help people break through.
Man, I want to break that down because there's so much in that. What I'm hearing you say is process over outcome. And like, that's one of the principles we lean in on here a lot is like, man, if you, you know, so Grant, I'll tell you this real quickly. So most of you guys will know this, like one of my kind of systems is around creating a lifestyle operating system, right? I call it an LOS. We're going to create a lifestyle operating system, which is like you have 16 hours in a day. And we have to optimize that 16 hours the best we can, the best that you're willing and able to do. And we're basically just creating a process, right? So the way you look, the way you feel, and the way you perform right now is an exact expression of how you operate within that 16 hours. And if you want to change the way you look, the way you feel, you perform, and your outcomes, we have to change the 16 hours. And so it sounds like we're talking the same language.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and even to kind of tie in, Des, what your question was, you know, is there a certain amount of minutes? To me, when you look at that, it's almost like checking a box. And maybe that's not exactly how you meant it, but it's like, what is the, like, how many minutes is going to lead to this, as opposed to what do I feel on the inside? What is unlocking to me and what feels right? And then trusting that. And as men, it's like this, you know, hyper masculine driven thing. And the, you know, and I don't know how much you guys dive into the masculine feminine energy of things, but it's, you know, men and women, we have both within us. Men thrive in their masculine, women thrive in their feminine. However, we have both, and they only complement each other. So it's to use the masculine to exude the courage to be able to tap into the feminine, which feels like a very unsafe state to be in as a man, to sit there and let yourself feel and understand what you're going through. And like Ben said, the idea of allowing yourself to experience the emotions you're having, you know, we always hear things like control your emotions, which I think we have a tendency to equate to suppress your emotions. And every time we suppress our emotions, your emotion is just energy in motion. Energy can't be created or destroyed. So when you suppress it, you're not getting rid of it. It's locking into your body. It's getting locked into your muscles. That's the shit that comes out when you're training. That's the parts that cause injury. Those are the parts that cause limitations in our life. But it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't leave you. And if you don't learn how to master it as opposed to suppressing it, it's going to come out at the most inopportune times. It's the way you respond to your significant other, the way you lash out at maybe your children, getting pissed off in traffic. There is nothing more masculine than a man who can control themselves at all times. I see what masculinity is like the Hulk. It's like this monster that, and I understand this probably sounds like a Jordan Peterson thing. It's the ability to turn into that monster on a dime when you absolutely need it and to be able to control it the rest of the time. So to me, that is my goal of where to help men get to.
And so I want to get you guys to self-identify. I was writing a document today on the concept of men being domesticated. How many of you would feel like you're domesticated? What that means is you're softening a little bit because of your environment, your products of convenience, your body composition fade a little bit because, you know, you're focused on putting other people first. Anyone else identify as being like, you know, this word domesticated? You're maybe putting a little bit of body fat because you're deprioritizing yourself. You're losing your primal animalistic rage, animalistic aggression, the masculine nature, and you're a product of convenience. Anyone feel like you've been exposed to that a little bit in your life? Yeah. Domestication, right? We're living in a city, in a house that's air conditioned with water that's running, and like if you were living on a farm where you had to kill your own food and you know raise your own vegetable garden, we would look and feel completely different. We are products of domestication. Is there anyone here who doesn't feel like that? Is anyone actually living this like primal life who's on a farm and, you know, like doesn't feel like they're softening because of the conveniences of modern day? Curious. I mean, nobody's giving me any feedback. All right. Didn't hit. but I think it's a big, I think it's probably the single biggest challenge facing modern men. You don't even realize because you're in the fishbowl, right? You can't see the label from inside the jar. You're like, oh yeah, I'm kind of getting lazy, kind of getting fat because like if I'm cold, I put on the heat. If I'm hot, I put on the air conditioning. If I want food, I call the food that gets, you know, they get delivered to my door, Uber. We become domesticated.
I just want to chime in and say, I bet that like, I'll at least share what I just experienced when he asked that question. Is when he originally said, you know, do you feel domesticated? Of course, I wanted to say no. And then as he explained it, I was like, brought some awareness to it. And I'm like, yeah, I do have a lot of conveniences in my life. And then when he said, you know, are you primal? Well, fuck, I wake up every day and that's what I want to be. But I'm like, I'm waking up with my iPhone setting the alarm off. I'm not waking up to the sun waking me up. I'm getting in my car and driving to the gym. I'm not walking out on the farm and lifting bales of hay all day. So I literally just that a simple awareness was like, shit, like, and it allowed me in that one moment to give a complete different breakdown of myself to myself.
Yeah. And so creating awareness around where we are, and there's nothing wrong with creating conveniences. Conveniences are wonderful, but if you're intentional about acknowledging, it's probably, you have to be intentional about also creating inconveniences, making things intentionally harder. And so you don't weaken, right? Domestication is going to weaken us if we're not aware of it.
Not only that, it's a slow chipping away of, it's a slow conditioning that you don't even realize is happening.
5 pounds per year, man. 5 pounds per year.
Yeah. And it's slow and it's slow. And it's just, but it's also just like when you lose weight, you know, when you lose weight on a day-to-day basis, you look in the mirror and you feel like nothing's happening. But if you look at month one versus month three, you go, holy shit, like, man, I am making some progress. But it's nothing you see on a day-to-day basis. So as you slowly experience these things, it's one little thing here and there. So like Ben said, it's not to take all of that away. It's like, you don't need to get rid of your car and walk 20 miles just to make it more difficult on yourself. But it's the awareness to bring that into yourself. And everything about life to me is awareness. So I said this for a long time. I used to think awareness actually trumped discipline, because to me, awareness would tell you what your discipline needs to be. However, I feel like I finally have been able to expand on that. And it's that discipline creates the new habit. Awareness allows you to make it sustainable. So if you are trying to use your awareness as you're trying to create a new habit, it's very easy to become subjective. And it's just like, no, I'm actually sore. I'm just going to stay home today. Get your ass up and go. You go. You have to create the new habit. It has nothing to do with the actual physical outcome. It has everything to do with the neurological connections that you're creating and driving out the old habitual belief system that you had. But once that's in place, and a new habit takes anywhere from 66 to 365 days to create in your body. And that's just simply where your body knows how to do it better than your brain does. And if you really want to mess around with this, the easiest place to start is brush your teeth with the opposite hand. Right. Like on a regular daily basis. If I told you right now, I'd give you 50 grand if for the next 30 days, you brush your teeth with the opposite hand, your ass is going to pick that toothbrush up with the exact same hand you always do tomorrow. And then you're going to go, oh, damn, you're going to change it. Day two, you're going to pick it up with the same hand again and go, oh, man, what am I doing? I want the benefit. And eventually you're going to hit a point where you maybe you couldn't explain it, but you go, I don't know why. Like, I know how big the benefit is of the change I want to make in my life, but I just seem to not be able to remember to do it. You just have to put a red flag in place. And this is how you can start constructing your life. You can start manufacturing these things with something as simple as a post-it note. So I used to use this example with clients all the time. And I was like, well, maybe I should actually do it. So on January 1st this year, I started brushing my teeth with the opposite hand. Sure enough, day one, I picked it up with my right hand. I was like, ah, day two, same thing. I went like an entire week with this. And I'm the one who uses it as an example. Finally, I took it and I set it up on a shelf on the left-hand side. And the point to all of this is all you have to do is create a pattern interrupt for yourself. Whatever change you want to make in your life, whether it's the way you respond to a significant other, whether it's the way you show up for your kids, whether it's the way you show up for yourself, the way you eat, the way you train, you have to create a pattern interrupt. Do something different. Move different. If you want a different emotion, you have to create a different motion. Create a different action in your life. Set things up this way. And like the idea of a post-it note, you can put post-it notes anywhere. And it's you're manufacturing the habit change. You're manufacturing the change that you can't actually do yet because your brain doesn't perceive it. Your brain makes up 5% of your body's mass, but it consumes over 25% of the calories you consume in a day. So it tries to be as efficient as possible. So it's only trying to keep you alive, keep you out of pain, and keep you efficient. And those are habits. But the thing about habits are, is they don't all, like, when I think when we hear the word habit, we naturally think it's a bad habit. It doesn't, like your subconscious beliefs, like, they don't care what they are. So you can actually rig it to work for you. So like for me, and what I always say about people that go to the gym all the time, who are regular with it, who are regular with their nutrition, you're not even disciplined. Like I can't stand to see people that have been training for 20 years, 5-6 days a week on a regular basis that are super dedicated to it. It's not discipline. It would take discipline to not go to the gym on those days, because you've actually created a system within yourself that drives you. It just happens to be something that's super beneficial. So you can make these things work for you either way. So to me, the goal is to start creating more positive habits. And it's not about stopping bad habits to then start new habits. New habits are what drive out the old ones. And the best example of this is if you, I don't know if you've ever seen online, someone takes a glass of water. They go, okay, this would be the perfect life. Pour a bunch of coffee grounds in it. They go, now this is all the trauma, the pain, the experiences we have. And it's cloudy and murky. And then she takes it. She tries scooping it out, cleaning it out. And as you do that, you also scoop out the good stuff that you want. So instead of trying to scoop out all the bad in your life, just flood it with more good. She pours more clear water in it. All the coffee grounds end up going out and all you're left with is clear. And it's like, that's how you can set up your life. You don't have to worry about getting rid of the bad habits. Focus on the things that you do want. You just got to remember that your brain is primed to move away from pain before it is to move towards pleasure. So pain would like, so moving away from pain, I don't want to experience pain. So my brain is set up to keep me doing the exact same patterns that I've always done. Eating the same way, responding the same way, reacting the same way, sleeping the same way, talking to people the same way. So my brain is primed to do that before it is to go, man, like this is going to feel so much better and be so much more conducive for me if I behave this way.
Seth, what's going on with you, man? What's any challenges coming up for you? Give me an update, man. How's training going?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Life's hard. Good to meet you guys. I've not met most of you. Life is good. Today's a sad day, obviously 9/11 for those of us in the States here, you know, it's a, you know, stark reminder of 23 years ago. Can't believe where the time has been. Just we're going through it with my oldest daughter. And so that's the
going that's through. The, she's having some challenges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So she trying to see here. I've got an 18-year-old who's a freshman in college who's high functioning on the spectrum, borderline personality disorder, OCD, anxiety, ADHD. And so it's a pretty volatile cocktail. Creates a lot of challenges. She's withdrawn from her semester, which is only 3 weeks old, twice. She's tried to commit suicide twice. Well, pretended to anyways, with taking all our meds. So we just got, you know,
Do you know who Dr. John DeMartini is?
No.
Reach out to him. Where do you live?
Pittsburgh.
So DeMartini, he actually lives on a boat, but I suggest that you reach out to him and his team. And if you can, just see if he's got any suggestions. Dr. John DeMartini, DeMartini. He may not be the best person, but he may know somebody who is.
Yeah.
And the guy's just, he's the best behavioral change expert in the world by far.
You know him?
I know him, yeah. I know him personally. I've taken four of his classes now. I actually spoke on stage with him 3 weeks ago. He's unbelievable. He's in his 70s, he's been doing it for 50 years. If he doesn't have a solution, he'll know somebody who does. I don't know his email, but if you just go to drdmartini.com, you can contact his daughter is the one who answers all of his emails. So her name's Alana. She goes by Alana, spelled Alana. I would check that out.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. And again, not sure if he's the guy, but he would know somebody who is.
Yeah. We'll check it out.
Yeah, man. Dan Hoare, man. Yeah. Tell me what's going down.
Hey, sorry, I had to unmute. This is good. My first week of training with Steve. Things are going great.
Yeah. Tell me about your goals. Tell me about your obstacles. What are the opportunities? Is there anything we can support you with?
Just like you said, I think the conveniences of the modern world has crept up and put on a little bit too much fat and not worked out as strong as I could have. So the goal is to lose some body fat and get back into a routine of lifting, getting stronger.
Yeah. So, man, you know, obviously Grant and I are both here to support. So one of the things I want you guys to all acknowledge is sometimes in life, how many of you guys would say that you put other people before yourself most of the time? You're like, I got to put my family first. I got to put my team first. I got to put my kids first. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. So that becomes a badge of honor in men, doesn't it? It's like, oh, you know, I'm a good man. I can't prioritize myself. I'm going to put everything else before me. It's like, it starts with this, like, I'm to be a good man. We're told this from when we're young, put other people first. And my encouragement to you guys is don't think it's selfish to put yourself first. Right. And there can be seasons of life, but you got to be intentional about it. I think Grant and I are both talking about this. There's to be seasons of life where you must put yourself first, because the only time you're useful Think about being the most maximally useful man that you can be. If you put everyone else first, what happens to your utility as a man? You become less effective. You become less useful. If my body isn't effective, if my mind isn't effective, my energy isn't effective, if my systems aren't effective, I become less useful as a man. And your family, your children, your team, your business, your community, they need the most effective version of you. That's how you lead. And so anyone who's new here or not, like, don't sell yourself short. Don't rationalize why it's okay to be mediocre because you put other people first. That's bullshit. And so I really want to encourage you guys to raise your standard for yourself so you can show up at the highest and best for your family, for your community. But you got to lean in on yourself first. So it requires you being selfish in some seasons, in some circumstances. That's not saying deprioritize your family or not give your kids what they need. It's saying you got to make sure that you prioritize your big rocks. You schedule your big rocks. Like, hey, I got to get this stuff in so that I can show up for my wife, so that I can show up for my kids, so that I can show up for my boss or my vocation, my business, you know? Those are the things I encourage you guys to do. Like, being the strongest and best version of yourself. Yes, it takes breaking habits, and it takes being willing to put yourself first.
I'd say that more than anything, actually, because when you don't put yourself first, it's real easy to hide behind this concept of like nobility. I look at when we as men put everybody else first before us. It reminds me of like having employees or people that work for you, and you're kind of like, I don't know. They call off work pretty often, and then they tell you something like something dramatic, a loved one passed away or something. Well, that's the kind of thing you don't really question, but at the same time, you're like, you have a vibe about it. Like, are they using that to their advantage, right? So when we hide behind this idea of nobility, and not everything that we do noble, it means we're hiding behind it. But a lot of times we'll actually hide behind it because we don't know what our actual intention is. And it's this idea that nobody's going to say anything bad about it. If anybody says anything at the end of the day, it's like, look at what I'm doing for all these other people. It's so good, right? So we almost will default into that so often, except it creates a really bad downspout because you get to a point where you're literally showing up to everything in a state of competition because you are literally competing to survive for yourself. And the goal is to show up in a place of contribution. What can I give to all of this? But you have to give to yourself first. And I'm a big believer that selfishness is the only true path to selflessness. Otherwise, you are literally showing up looking for someone to give you something in return. And when you do those nice, noble actions, you actually end up doing them with an expectation to tie to them most of the time.
So speaking of Dr. DeMartini, he spoke on stage 3 weeks ago, the years before me, actually. And one of the things he said that was, it is mind-blowing and everyone should hear it and live it, is if you don't, his kind of famous quote, you'll hear him say this a million times, if you don't intentionally fill your day with high-value tasks that inspire you, high-value tasks that inspire you, your day will spontaneously fill with low-value tasks that don't. So you got intentionally fill your day with high-value tasks or it's going to spontaneously fill with things that don't inspire you. And where that's important is, he says, every time you don't intentionally live in your highest values and do the things that are inspirational to you or are inspiring to you, you're devaluing your self-worth, right? So if I do things to appease other people or that aren't my highest value, I'm literally devaluing my self-worth. And how many of you guys would say sometimes we have challenges with self-worth, self-belief, and self-esteem? Anyone? Yeah. And so our responsibility to ourselves and to the world is to do the things that we're most inspired to do as often and as much as we can. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if we schedule it. You got to schedule it. You got to own it. You got to be like, yep, that's me. That's what I do. That, you know, one of my guys on here, Chris, like, this guy owns his schedule, man. Chris, I'm sure you're listening. Like, Chris owns his time. Like, there's nobody that's going to take his time and his outcomes and his results demonstrate that very much. You know, like, he owns a schedule, he's running an incredibly successful business, and you know, he's chosen that life. He's not letting other people take over his life and his life happening by accident and default. He's like, no, no, no. Like, I curate my day from the time I wake up to, like, when I eat my food, when I have my meetings. Like, he's curated. And that's ultimately how you intentionally fill your day with high value tasks that inspire you.
Hey, Ben, it's Chris.
Hey, brother.
Can I just play the other side of this for a second, where I feel like sometimes I feel selfish that I'm that way, that it's too much about me, and that I almost feel like the people around me have to cater to me because of the way I am. So just throw that thought out there and maybe yeah. let that bake for a minute. Well, how would you respond to that?
Man, but so in your situation, I would push back at you and say, how many people are you providing incredible life to, right? And so by being selfish and by building a life that allows you to show up at your best, how many people do you provide an incredible living for them and their family and you and your family and your parents and your brother and your close, you know, whatever, cousins? Like, you directly are responsible for an incredible life for a really large number of people because you're you, because you're successful, because you show up with the highest energy, because you're disciplined. Man, if you didn't do all that stuff, all of those other people wouldn't have that same life. And so what do you say to that? Am I right?
I know there's a reason why I work with you.
Yeah. Man, if you're a high achiever, you're bringing people along for the ride. If you're a high achiever and you're a Scrooge and you're hoarding things, different story, man. But you do, you're like, I take so much pride and conversely suffer a lot when, so I'll say I take pride in providing an incredible opportunity for my coaches and my team to earn an amazing living. And I suffer immensely when they're not. Like, if I'm not providing enough, you know, income and clients for my guys, I suffer, man. And I don't want to ever feel like that. And so, Chris, dude, you're doing so much amazing stuff in this world, and you will continue to do that for the rest of your life because you put yourself first. I'm curious if you think I'm wrong.
I mean, when you lay it out like that, I mean, it makes a lot more sense in my brain. And I'm not saying I always feel like this, but it's just, you know, in the theme of like always getting better every day, it's just something I think about that I kind of go back and forth on of like, do I push it a little too far at times?
Man, I think people like yourself, you know, you think of kids in school, right? Like, oh, don't work too hard. You know, you don't want that other person to feel bad. Don't go so far ahead. Like, wait for everyone else. And you're like, well, if I slow down, now my standard is decreased and everyone else is behind me and doesn't have something to aspire to. We've created this culture of like, everyone should worry about other people's feelings. Therefore, don't be great. And I say, fuck that. You know, like, I mean, I don't want to be part of that world where everyone just sucks because we're worried about people's feelings. Like, how about I go out and fucking crush it? And because I'm crushing it, now I have the energy to go back and get that guy or that girl and bring them along with me. I'm not trying to make them feel bad. I just want to like set the standard so everyone gets better, man. And that's the life you live, bro. I have massive respect for you, man. Massive. You know that.
As do I with you, and that makes a lot of sense, man. Thanks for laying it out like that.
Yeah, man. I think if everyone had some of your secret sauce, man, like, I use you as an example in my day-to-day life so much. Is like, if you want to be successful, you have to own your time, you have to own your life, you have to own you have to take responsibility for your body, for your nutrition, for your energy, for your family. Like, you take the weight of the world in your shoulders every day. And it's just fucking life to you. You're like, that's how I am, man. We're good. And the world needs more men like you, brother. Like, and not blowing smoke because you're here. Like, that's just, and I wouldn't have otherwise said that. Like, I wouldn't have, you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke, but it's true. Like, you need to be an example for more men.
And if I can just chime in real quick and add, you know, Chris, like when you are feeling that, I think you could just ask yourself one question is like, what would suffer if I didn't behave this way? Like, what would I to actually look at, like, if I didn't take the actions that I'm taking, if I didn't sacrifice, maybe the things that I'm sacrificing, what would the bigger sacrifice be? And then at that point, just do a simple, like, which has the greater upside, which has the greater downside. And most times it's going to be to continue behaving and performing the way that you are. And whatever the downside is to that would be to simply communicate to the ones that you love and value the most so that they understand where you're at. If you ever feel like you're in that place, because then it alleviates the anxiety that you might feel.
Yeah. And every benefit has an equal and opposite drawback, man. Chris, every time you decide to focus on you, you're giving something else up. And every time you give, you choose something else, you're giving yourself up. And that's the dynamic of life, man. Like, for every up, there's a down, and for every darkness, there's a light, you know? And like, we have to just become conscious of those decisions and realize that it's okay, because it's a season. You're like, hey man, I'm going to go hard, and realize like, I'm going to push through this, and I'm going to come out on the other side a bigger, better man to inspire more people, lead the world, and make the world a better place. And I'm also going to make sacrifices, dude. You sacrifice a lot, even though it doesn't feel like sacrifice to you, right? Like, you sacrifice a lot of, free time. Maybe you sacrifice a lot of time with your family. You sacrifice a lot of stuff so that you can give so many incredible people a great life. And so like, man, I think a lot of the guys in the call are probably living some version of that life, you know? And sometimes we struggle with like, well, fuck, I'm giving so much up, right? Myself included, every day.
Yeah, man, it always feels like when you plug one hole, sometimes another one pops up. But I think that's just the being human.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you're developing these skills to figure out how to plug the holes faster, and like bringing somebody in to plug the hole. And then you create a bigger challenge, a bigger opportunity, a bigger challenge.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you being here. Anyone else have challenges? Who else can we call on here? Jason Rogers, what's going on with you, buddy? Now I'm on mute. I might be able to unmute you myself here, actually.
There we go.
All right, man.
I'm doing great.
Bring me up to date. What's going on? What's new? How can we support you?
Just coming back to the program. Just started working with Dan Smith. He's a great guy.
Incredible.
Nutrition is probably my biggest challenge, and I think he's got a good plan laid out for me, and I'm looking forward to going to Costa Rica and seeing the result. Yeah.
Yeah. So why is nutrition hard for you, man? Do you deprioritize it?
I do on the weekends, full disclosure. I'm really good during the week, but it seems like on the weekends, things kind of start to go downhill as far as my nutrition.
Tell me why. And so no judgment. Like, I always come up for everything from a place of curiosity. Tell me why.
My wife and I like to go out, and something with Dan the other day that was really profound is I sent him, I had a work lunch to go to, and I sent him the menu of the restaurant I was going to, and he helped me pick something out, and it actually turned out to be really good, but it was a good choice. So I was still able to go out and make a good food choice and still enjoy the experience. So I think it comes down to those choices more than anything.
Here's what I'm hearing, man. Here's what it sounds like. It sounds like you value your wife more than you value being 10% body fat. And good. Or you should. And you value that connection, and you guys connect over, you know, a romantic dinner or a date night or a dinner or whatever. And dude, fucking kudos to you for making that decision. Make it consciously. Like, hey, I'm choosing you, and I'll eat. Like, I do the same with my kids. My kids are like, Daddy, we want pizza. I was like, done. Like, let's go. And I'm not going to say, I'm not going to do this with you because, I can be really strict 90% of the time, and 10% of the time or 5% of the time, I can eat whatever, because my bond with my kids is more important. And that's how I happen to bond with them sometimes. My son eats very differently than me. And I feel as though if I ate like a robot, which I sometimes do, it would alienate him a little bit. Like, because, you know, my daughter and I eat the same way all the time, and my son feels like the one left out. So I choose pizza. Anyways, no, I make this about me. But dude, like that's a good decision to make, right? Make that decision all day long. And now what you're looking for, what it sounds like when you're asking Dan for advice, you're looking for an operating system, right? You need like, hey, I need a new operating system when I go to a restaurant. What should I be choosing? And that's what the stuff we talk about, right? Does anyone else want some guidance on how to eat when you're at a restaurant? Does anyone else have that challenge? I know Spencer likes to eat pizzas when he's at a restaurant. 44 pizza, baby.
4-1, yeah. It's tough when you own the pizza place and you could just call and get an unlimited free pizza,
Right.
and it's like a block away from my house. It's like it's a constant challenge. Yeah,
You know,
I don't know.
there's some
Go
dude in
ahead.
St. Pete who got in bodybuilding shape eating pizza. You know this guy?
That's
No,
happening.
but I want to know about it.
He did a show on just pizza. He owns a pizza place in St. Pete, and that was his gimmick. He got in shape doing eating just pizza.
So the only other thing I wanted to say is I think subconsciously you go into the restaurant knowing, okay, this is the right choice to make, but you're I'm not sure what it is that takes over and you end up, like
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. So
rather
I
have.
know exactly what you're talking about. So you're playing a dopamine game, right? So your brain. So here's an example. If I let's say in my house I have a drawer where I have cookies, and if I go there ever and I take a cookie out, my brain remembers. So when I eat the cookie, it's a hyper palatable food. My brain gets a spurt of dopamine. Dopamine feels real good. I'm like, oh, that was good. And my brain remembers where the dopamine is. And so the next time you go back to that place, your brain will go, if I'm feeling in any way low energy, low motivation, low whatever, my brain goes, oh, there's dopamine over there. Go get it. So I have an instantaneous boost of dopamine. So I feel really good. I get more energy. I feel more motivated for a short amount of time. Dopamine goes up, but guess what happens when it goes up? It comes back down. So then I want more of that dopamine. So what happens is as soon as you allow yourself to experience dopamine in that environment, your brain remembers it's there, and you or with that food, that's a dopamine food, I'm gonna want more of it. So it's very, very common. And so you're playing a dopamine game. So my encouragement to you is the only way to overcome the dopamine short term is you just gotta be like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And after a couple of days or weeks, you don't even remember that. Your brain forgets that that thing gives you dopamine because your baseline dopamine comes up.
100%.
That's what happens. Yeah, you just got to eat more of the really good food. I always say, like, I want a triple portion of protein and a double portion of vegetables, and that's my go-to at a restaurant, man. Like, double or triple protein, double or triple vegetables, and then once you eat that, you're probably not so hungry for the hyper palatable stuff. You might, but less likely.
No, absolutely. Great advice.
And Jason, you said you just started back on this, right?
Yes, I mean I've always trained, but I really want to focus in on the nutrition, and I'm just past 50 years old, and I want to live a good, long, strong life. I have a high stress job, but I really want to hone in on the nutrition.
Oh yeah, man, good for you. So what I would encourage you to remember is that so you have a subconscious programming that says this is the way I eat when I go out with my wife. This is the way I eat when I go to a restaurant. So it's actually you're walking in consciously going, I know this is the right choice. And as you sit down, the subconscious takes over and it goes, yeah, but this is what we actually do. This is what feels good. This is what bonds us together. So there's a little bit of like push and pull you can also experience with this because I think nutrition is one of the biggest things because people, like all the people in the world who say food is just energy are full of shit. I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, it's not because like Ben said, it is, it's dopamine. It's also bonding. Like take the holidays, for example, and completely cut food out of it. Like what are we actually doing? Like there's not much left. Like we bond, it's what we experience life through. But when we understand that and what it's driving. So like you said, like if you're now trying to hone in on this, all you have to do is give yourself the anecdotal experience of being able to go to a restaurant repeatedly and make a different choice. And it's just like anything else. Like it's going to be difficult the first bunch of times, but the more times you do it, the more it starts driving out that old belief system. And you start having a belief system that goes, I can actually eat at a restaurant and feel good about it. And it's just like the overall belief that is there right now. It's almost like you sit down and the body automatically goes, like the words almost like come out, like your brain's going, I want the chicken. Your mouth actually says something, like give me the double chocolate layer cake. And it's like, and you don't even think about it. And that's the idea, that your body does it better than your brain. So all you're doing is you're retraining. And the difficulty, and because I think a lot of times we also chalk it up to being like, we get really self-deprecating when we can't make that new habit change. And realize it's your brain working against it. It's not you. It's not because you're lazy. It's not because you suck. It's not because you're not driven towards it. It's your brain is literally like, it's like got its claws dug in what you did before. And you're going, nope, we're going this way with it. And eventually those claws come up. And it's free reign for you to do and make whatever choices you want to make.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, the other day I felt great after I left because I went to a restaurant. I had a social lunch with business people. I ate good and I felt good when I left because I made a good choice and it didn't impact, you know, anything that we were doing there. I still, you know, enjoyed my time. So.
And I just want to amplify what Ben said also about how, you know, what he does with his son. And like, good for you for like what the way you have that experience with your wife. Because if you think about it, almost everything that we do at the end of the day, if you really were to break it down, and I'll get a little tree huggerish with this one, we're doing it for love. Like we want to become better, but what do we want to become better for? Ourselves. We want to have that relationship with ourselves, but also the people in our lives. Like we want that connection. And a lot of times we end up driving towards the things when we actually have, we can cut out the middleman, which is, I have to have a rock hard six pack. That's great to have. And it's a lot of fun to have, but it's the ability, like, what am I trying to be good enough for? Like, what is my drive? What is my urge? And a lot of times it's like, we'll actually have that stimulus in our life already. And when you realize that, it kind of changes the game for you. So it's like, because at the end of the day, life is about connection with people. We're social creatures. That's what we're driven by.
100%. Yeah. Love it.
That's a great kind of loop back to process versus outcome. And so I always say that the way you look on the outside is an expression of the person you are on the inside. And so if you're feeling like the body that you want is not the goal, it's the side effect, right? And so if I implement good habits and work hard and like, it just happens naturally. Like I'm just going to train every day because it's part of who I am. It becomes this character based thing. And I think it's a really simple way to think of it. Like, stop focusing on the outcome. Just focus on the habits. And you develop this habit of like, I actually care about myself. I actually care about my body. I actually care about my health. I'm investing in my health. I'm investing in my energy every day. And the body just happens by accident. Like, I want to move well because I want to be able to do all the things I want to do when I'm old. I want to nourish my body well. I'm not going to destroy my body with things like drugs and alcohol and bad food. Like, why would I do that? You know, like people think, Ben, you eat so well. I'm like, I don't even see the other stuff as it's not even food to me. I'm like, what is that stuff? Because I just have so much self-love. And the reason I have self-love is because I want to be around for a long time for the people that I love and like be able to contribute to the world. Like, so anyways, just kind of a sermon here about like, fucking love yourself, man, and do the right things. And your body, a great body becomes an expression of that. It's usually self-loathing that causes these bad, you know, bad decisions. Not always, but sometimes, you know.
Not only that, and when you don't give yourself what you want, what you need, you create your own internal stress all the time. And when you have stress and your cortisol is going off, your body's not absorbing the nutrition or anything you're eating anyways. So you're kind of negating the whole purpose of it. So it's like, the more you take care of the body, the more you honor the body, the more you like honor your own stress to relieve those things and have certain things like practice. And again, hitting on what you're asking earlier, Des and Ben's reply about, you know, there's seasons for things. It's like your modalities can change, like honor yourself because your body changes also. Like we go through different seasons. You know, actually the crazy thing is like summer when everyone wants to be the most shredded is the time of the year when your body's actually wanting to prime itself to go into winter. So during the summers when it's actually trying to pack on fat to get ready for an upcoming winter to be the most warm. So it's like the more you can honor these things and you're aware of those processes, it's like your body will respond, but you give your body what it needs, it'll give you what you want.
Yeah, it's actually a true statement. So if anyone's ever thought about that, the sunlight actually encourages carbohydrate consumption because your body tolerates carbohydrates more effectively in the summertime because of increased vitamin D levels. Interesting to think about. Anyone have any questions that they want to have discussed? Yeah. Or
bear? Ben, I had a question for you.
All right, bro.
With dealing with stress and mindset, one thing I noticed that I was consuming a lot of audiobooks and just information, and I was just getting a lot of just information overload. And then having to deal with the stress with work and everything, it was just too much. Is there a book you would recommend that's really impactful and read maybe one page or two pages in a day that can really help realign your mindset, deal with the stress, get in a good place that was is really impactful that a short amount of time can help you kind of reset?
Arte.
Yeah, Arte is a good book. Arte would be a great book. It depends. It depends specifically, Bear. So there's the Stoic stuff. Like, in, if you're looking for something that, like, I can read. Oh, I know the book actually. There's a book that I've read probably 50 times, and it's the Tao Te Ching. And so you can, if you're willing to do the work on reading and really thinking about it, there's actually a really good version that Dr. Wayne Dyer did. And it's like, I think it's called Living the Tao. And Tao is T-A-O, Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'll put it in the chat here.
Okay.
So Dr. Wayne Dyer has probably got the biggest influence on my early life. I think it's called Living the Tao. There you go. And he gives his interpretation of every verse. So the Tao is this ancient book around life. And if you just read it, it's super hard to, like, what the hell is he talking about? But if you read Dr. Wayne Dyer's version of it, it's super impactful. Anything by Wayne Dyer is amazing. Anything by the Stoics, you know, if you read, like, the Daily Stoic, there's a book called the Daily Stoic. You want some, like, just like a couple sentences to get you focused. And I think, you know, in times of stress, I do the same thing. It's like mental masturbation. Sometimes there's like, I'm going to consume as many books as I can in times of high productivity. So there's always this equation in life of consumption and production, right? Am I a consumer or am I a producer? And if you're always consuming, we've created a consumption culture, right? I want to consume food. I want to consume food. I want to consume education. I want to consume books. And you're not often producing, right? And so we want to have a dynamic, either balance or seasons of consumption and production. And so in seasons of production, we produce more, and therefore we produce more value in the world, right? People who ultimately make more money, I think, are more producers than they are consumers. There's always a balance, but just be aware of, like, what percentage of my time I spent consuming versus producing. And if you become conscious of it, I'm not saying there's one that's better than the other, but you can become conscious and be like, I need to produce more, I need to consume more, both of which have value.
Okay, awesome. Appreciate that.
Yeah, brother. You got a bunch of books there in the chat that you can check out.
Got them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Oh, I think maybe it's called Living the Wisdom of the Tao. It's something like that, Dr. Wayne Dyer. And so I'll tell you a story about that guy. So when in 2007, I started on this journey, I was the most mindless meathead, like the epitome of a mindless meathead. And I was going through some life challenges, and a guy said to me, one of my earliest mentors said, I made some comment like, you know, this woman does this thing to me. She makes me feel this way. She makes me make, she, and he goes, hold on. No, no, no. Nobody makes you do anything. Nobody makes you feel anyway. You allow her to influence you that way. And it's your responsibility to take control of your emotions. And I was like, tell me more about this. I didn't realize I had the ability to control my emotions. I didn't realize no one outside of me or no circumstance could ever influence how I feel, except if I allow it, if I'm a victim to it, right? So he opened my eyes to, like, whatever, the opportunity to become a master of self. And I was like, well, tell me more about this. So Dr. Wayne Dyer was one of the first guys I read basically everything he's got. Jim Rohn, I read everything he's got. Tony Robbins. And you become aware of the fact that, oh, like, I'm the creator of my mind. I'm the creator of my state, my emotions. And nothing outside of me can influence that unless I allow it. And like, oh, well, not, well, talk about being empowered, right? Your wife doesn't influence your state. Your children don't influence your state, like, unless you allow them to. So you're the creator of your state. You're the creator of your mind. And you just need to learn the skill how to do it, which not all of everyone knows. Yeah. So in times of stress, gentlemen, realize you're allowing the stress to exist in your body. It's not a bad thing. Sometimes allowing stress creates change, right? Allowing stress to exist in your mind and your body becomes the catalyst for action, right? And stress, anxiety, that becomes the catalyst to do something. But if you live there for a long, a state becomes a trait, right? A state of body, a state of mind becomes a personality trait. And that's a problem. So you got to allow yourself to realize, like, hey, I'm the creator of this reality. Am I going to let something else infiltrate my mind? Your choice. Gents, we're over time. I'm happy to stay and answer as many questions as you want. I want to say thanks very much to Grant for joining us. G, appreciate you. Even if you want to give these guys like a social media handle or something, just drop it in the chat. They can follow you there.
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys so much for having me come on and letting me ramble a little bit. And then my name on, and I do everything through Instagram. So if you want to connect through there, I love connecting with anybody. It's just my first and last name, Grant Ziak, with the D in front of the Ziak. Throws people off sometimes. But yeah, reach out, shoot me a DM. We'd love to talk to you guys. If you have any questions about anything, totally let me know. But Ben, thank you so much for having me on, brother.
Appreciate you, man. I hope life is everything you dream of.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Grant. Thanks, Ben. It's been a while. Good to see you guys. Try to make this a better habit.
Yeah. Yeah. So guys, if anyone still hasn't signed up for Costa Rica, we do have some spots left. We're getting close to filling it. So if anyone has any questions, if you guys want to get in on it, man, it's going to be epic, epic. Gavin and I are training hard now. You guys are in for it, man. Watch out. Have a great one, gentlemen. Talk to you next week.